This sermon is brought to you by Christ Church South Philadelphia, a church that is committed to living out the gospel in their neighborhood and from there impacting the world. For more information about our church or to support our mission, you can go to www.christchurchsouthphilly.org.
It is comical to all of us when we're at denominational meetings and the guys from Northeast Philly are hanging out with the guys from South Philly. And everyone else is like, you're in the same city. What are you doing? I said, well, you've never seen the construction on 95. So you don't know how long it takes. Sometimes we get to Lancaster as fast as we could get here, I think. It's not quite that bad, but it certainly feels that way when you're going nowhere for minutes at a time. But greetings from Grace City Church of the Northeast. Again, not that many miles away from you, though again, it seems far, but not far in heart. So it is our joy to be partners with you in the gospel, and it is my joy to be with you today and opening the Word of God. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. At our church in the Northeast right now, we are working our way through Matthew's gospel, and we just finished the very large section of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we just finished that this last week. So as I was thinking about what to share with you all, it's like, well, what from the Sermon on the Mount might be helpful? And we settled ultimately on Matthew 6, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. So I'm going to read that for us and then ask the Lord for his help. And then we'll think about these words that are from our Lord and what difference they should make in our lives this day, 2,000 years after he first spoke them. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. These are the words of the Lord. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That is the word of the Lord, and let's thank him for it. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us by your word. You've spoken to us by your Son. We thank you for these words, which in many ways are so well known and so little practiced. Would you help us? Would you help us to hear what Jesus has to say? Would you help us to be comforted, to be helped, to be convicted where we need to be convicted? Would you help us to be ready to repent, to obey? Would you help us to see you for who you are and for that to be what makes everything okay? And so would you meet with us now? Would you help me? Would you help all of us, Holy Spirit? Would you help me say what I ought to say? Would you help each one to hear? And would you apply your word to each person, each heart, where they are? In Jesus' name, amen. Where is your treasure? What do you most value? Now, it's Sunday, so everyone knows, even in the children's classes, down to the youngest ones, they know the right answer is Jesus, right? Isn't that, I know the right answer. All right, whenever a kid doesn't know the right answer in class, if they say Jesus, they'll at least be, oh, okay, you know, you're in the neighborhood, right? It's like, no, Jesus isn't the one who, you know, any number of Old Testament stories, like, he didn't exactly do that, but, you know, we're glad you're here. And so on Sundays, when we're at church, we have our answers to what we treasure, to what matters to us, what we need, what we want, what we love. But how do you know what you treasure? Because sometimes, even on like a Tuesday, you might say something you treasure, but then something happens and it reveals what we treasure. How does what we trust, what we treasure, get revealed? How does that happen? Well, what do you worry about? What raises the anxiety level for you? That when either an email comes with someone's name on it, don't mention any names right now. When an email comes, maybe it's when the mail comes and it's mostly junk mail and then bills. Is it when the bills come? Is it when we hear from that person? In our passage today, that we are treating as one passage, you say it's kind of long. I'm going to try to not be too long, helping us think together about it. But it divides up kind of neatly, right? It's like, why didn't you just do 19 to 24? That's the good passage about lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. And we need to do that, and that's important. And then it's almost like 25 to 34 is a new topic, right? Now we're going to talk about anxiety. But Jesus connects the two. Did you notice the beginning of verse 25? What's the first word of verse 25? Therefore. Right, and way back, some pastor sometime taught me and has probably taught you that whenever you see a therefore, you need to think about what it's there for. Pastors are so clever. We think we're really cute sometimes, but that's also a really good rule. Right, if you come up with therefore, it's probably not the beginning of a thought. It's most likely an extension of one. And so when Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, we don't just go like, yeah, see, it has some connection that we can't figure out to the past, but really we're talking about anxiety today. Jesus connects our anxiety and our need to trust the Lord with what we treasure. And it actually helps us understand both sides of that. That anxiety is not just random. It doesn't just rise up. It has a root that comes from somewhere. And it helps us think about what it really means to treasure something. Because again, at church, we all know the right answer. I love Jesus. I love his people. I love the church. It also makes sense of verse 33. This is a well-known verse in the Sermon on the Mount, one that often gets memorized on its own. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We even have songs about that, right? And all these things will be added to you. And it's fine if you learn the song that's just that verse. That's okay. But it almost seems strange to be in, you know, it's the part about anxiety. And all of a sudden he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. And he's actually reaching back to treasuring the things that will last. So this section, if you've heard your favorite preacher going through the Sermon on the Mount, and he did verses 19 to 24 and then 25 to 34, it doesn't mean he did it wrong. It's just for us today, as we're thinking about anxiety, it's intimately connected to what we treasure. Our anxiety reveals what we treasure. And that can be what people think of us, right? Do people think I'm a good person? Do they think I'm a nice guy? Do they think I'm smart? Do they think I'm funny? Do they think whatever? All the things that you, what do they think of me? Usually they're probably not thinking about you as much as you think. They're thinking about themselves and maybe what you think of them. It's a different sermon. Maybe it is about money and what it can buy. Money is a big one here. We heard at the end of the first section, you cannot serve God and money. Perhaps if you're a student, it's about grades. Now, probably if you're a student, you're just about done with grades for this year. How many would say, I am a student and I have done everything I'm going to do for school this year and I'm finished? Okay, I see those hands and I see like a not quite. So it's not quite just like a no then? Like, I'm not sure. We can connect after. I'd love to learn what not quite means. How many of you say, I really am not quite done? I still have things to do for school. Okay, I see a few of those hands up. Yes, thank you. You can put them down. Grades feel, you can put your hand down too. Thank you. I saw that. That could have been, I'm really glad I looked your way. That could have been a long time. Grades can be very important, and especially as you get toward high school, right? Because then all of a sudden, they're keeping track of all 4 years. And that's what colleges are going to be looking at, is your cumulative GPA. And so you may have blown it in ninth grade Spanish, and now you won't get into the school that you wanted to. Maybe, maybe not. But we can't load everything in. But that's one of the ways that anxiety builds for us, right? We load our entire future into something when you're 14. If you're 14 and thinking about that, do your best. Also, God cares for you. And he's sovereign over all your days. So do your best, but you don't need to spend a minute worrying about your grades like your future is all up to you. There'll be a time, not very long from now, that you'll be, if you go to college, that you'll be worried about those grades. And all your work in high school is now nothing. You're all level playing field, starting over. I have the privilege of teaching about one class a semester up at Cairn University up in Langhorne. And I definitely had students this semester who had anxiety about their grades. How am I going to get it all done? What's going to happen? Am I going to get into grad school? Am I going to get the job? And if you're maybe feeling that or anticipating feeling that, there will be a day when your GPA matters not. One of my pastors growing up, he was my youth pastor when I was my last couple years of high school. He knew that I cared about school a lot, and he took me out right before I was leaving to go to college. And he knew I wanted to be in the ministry as well, and I wanted to study for the ministry, and he had studied for the ministry. And he said, he took me out to, your grades are not the most important thing. You have things that are way more important than that, especially if you're going to do ministry. You need to build relationships with people, get to know people. He says, I spent all my time in the library and in my dorm room doing my schoolwork, and I finished summa cum laude. He says, you know who knows and cares about that? My mom. And she was very proud of him. But you know what? It didn't make a difference to me what kind of grades he got. It made a difference how he cared for me. And your GPA is not an indicator of your ability to succeed in life. It's not an indicator of God's provision for you and care for you. Some of you say, I left that whole GPA thing a long time ago. And maybe it's the next performance review. Right? Maybe the last one actually didn't go so great. There's some opportunities for improvement. I love how they say things. And maybe that next one's coming up. And you go, oh, I don't know, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, so they see. And do a good job. Right? Do your work. None of this is like, skip all your assignments, don't do your job. God will provide for you. But can we work hard and trust the Lord? Can we do our best but leave it with Him in such a way that we're able to move through life without worry consuming us? Or maybe your worries are more about security and safety. Maybe the place you live is not the most secure. We can think about that for ourselves, but if you have children, you definitely think about that for your children as well. When I heard the announcement about the parking lot, I was more thinking about kids playing in places where cars don't see them until it's too late than the annoyance to the people who own the parking lot. So I guess both can be in view. That's why we try to keep our kids out of our... So we're in the Northeast. We have a parking lot. I'm really sorry. But we try to keep our kids out of the parking lot for that very reason. And so we do need to take wise measures sometimes for our children's security and safety. Doesn't mean just let them go wherever and do whatever. Depending on how your street works, yes, let them play in the street, but maybe not. That's a wisdom decision for you. We definitely have people in our church whose kids play in the street because of how the blocks work, and no one's really going quickly down that one, and everyone's playing in the street. Then there's other streets where, you know, watch out, speed limit's 25, but no one knows that. But we can be consumed with security for ourselves or our children. And again, I'm not opposed to wise measures, but there's wise measures, and then there's like, I must compulsively check the cameras. Has anyone moved in the last day in the vicinity of my house? Has anyone walked by that I don't know? Well, the answer is certainly yes, and mostly it's going to be okay. So we can be wise, but there's a difference where it crosses over. Can you kind of feel where that difference is for you? And maybe you'd say, you know, Rob, you haven't hit on anything directly related to me. You haven't talked about my thing. Well, that means you're thinking about your thing. And so what is that thing? And how do you, yes, be wise, do what God has given you to do, and entrust yourself to a faithful Savior, in this text, to a caring, kind Father. Let's hear Jesus say today, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life. Now, when the main command, and we see it here more than once, is do not be anxious, verse 25. Again, at the end in verse 34. Therefore, after all has been said, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Some of us, our anxiety begins to rise just hearing that command. Like, I'm definitely doing it wrong. And now, oh, now I'm really doing it wrong. And now I'm really worried about that. And so let me say a few things that we're not saying here. There's an old Bob Newhart counseling skit. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. Let me say, I think I know where you're going with that. Okay. The rest of you are in for a treat this afternoon. It's on YouTube. If you Google Bob Newhart, stop it, you will have about 5 minutes of great joy. Okay? With a great payoff at the end that I will not spoil. It will not take you long to watch it. But the essence of it is he's a counselor, and this woman is pouring out all her troubles, all her fears, some of them which might even be considered irrational. And after listening for a little bit, he's like, okay. And he kind of names the problem with her. This is your problem. This is what you're afraid of. Yep. He says, okay, I'm going to give you two words. Are you ready? I'm going to give you two words. She's like, should I write them down? He's like, it's not going to be too much of a problem. Most people, it's just two words. Most people can remember them. And she's ready to write down the two words. She's ready to learn from his wisdom. And his wisdom is, stop it. She's like, I don't understand. He's like, stop it. So what are you saying? It's like, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T. That's not what we're doing today. I'm saying, are you worrying? Stop it. Not what we're doing. We'll tell you what we're doing instead in a few minutes. This is also not the Lion King. Okay, if we're talking about anxiety and worry, what are the two words in the Lion King that might connect here? Does anybody know? There's a song. What is it? Hakuna Matata. What does Hakuna Matata mean? Right? For the rest of your days. Now, even in the world of the Lion King, as fun as that song is Hakuna Matata considered in the world of the story? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Is that a good approach to life or a bad approach to life? What do you think? Bad. Why is it bad? Somebody tell me. Okay, he's ignoring his problems. He's turning his back on his family, his responsibilities, right? That's what Simba's being coached toward there, right? It's like, just don't worry about it. You have problems, you're sad. Throw it all away. We've got this awesome life philosophy. That is also not what we're doing in this sermon and not what Jesus is doing in this passage. He's not saying like, well, just don't worry. There's actually nothing to worry about if you just don't think about it. No, a big point of this passage that we'll see is that there are real things to be worried about. Sometimes when we think about anxiety, it's like, well, just stop. There's nothing to be anxious about. You just don't need to worry. Well, what rock do you live under? There is so much to worry about. There is so much to fear. So it's not Hakuna Matata. Just don't worry about it. Don't think about it. It's not what Jesus is saying. It's also not some kind of stoicism, which is becoming, it kind of comes around every generation or two. And it seems like it's back, especially for young men. You know, the world tells you can't be a manly man and you know no one can be tough and everyone really is weak and then some podcasts come into your life and say, you know what? You need to be strong. You need to be different. And the thing is, you probably do need to be stronger than you are. So take that. But also, it's not some kind of stoicism where nothing can hurt me because I'm above it all. I'm strong enough. I am independent enough. We've gone away from the Christian message when we begin to think things like that. And so there can be some good, and you need to toughen up, you need to man up, but there's a kind of manning up that men are being called to, and that women are like, no one has to call you to that because you're already having to be so tough. That we think, I'm just above it all. Nothing can shake me because I've learned not to be bothered. Jesus is not teaching us not to care. He's not teaching us not to be bothered, but that's a way that our culture can twist this sort of message. Don't be anxious. Okay. I'm just going to not be anxious. But it doesn't work, and it's not what Jesus is calling us to. It's also not, and this is, I do see a couple people here who might be older than I am, and that's not a slam. I think we're entering into a great stage of life where everything's gray. One of my daughters pointed out this morning when I was getting ready, it's like, Dad, you're getting more gray in your hair. There's a really cool, like, right there. I'm like, thank you. I don't know if anybody here remembers Doris Day singing Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be, will be. And the context of that song is actually in the movie The Man Who Knew Too Much, Jimmy Stewart. That may be another name that you have to be a certain age to know, unless It's a Wonderful Life happened to have popped across your TV at some point. But what's going on with Que Sera, Sera? A child is asking his mother, you know, will I be, what will my future be? What will I be when I grow up? Will I be handsome? Will I be smart? Will I be successful? And then the chorus keeps coming back, Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que Sera, Sera. There's like, again, not a terrible message in there. Don't worry about it. The future's not ours to see. But part of what's going on in this text is not just a passive, like, well, you know, whatever, it'll all work out. It's not this passive, it'll all work out. It's that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. It's not whatever will be. It's that your Father sees you, and He knows you, and He cares about you. And so it's not just stop it, where then we get anxiety about our anxiety. It's not Hakuna Matata, turn your back on everything. It's not this stoicism that's tough and above it all. And it's not whatever will be, because the future is just out there and we'll see. No, he's referring to genuine concerns that people would have. And he's not saying not to do anything about those things. We do need to work and plan, but we do it all trusting the Lord and treasuring the things that will last. And we do that by focusing on God's character and his care for us. So whatever it is you're facing now, God's got you. God's got this. So you can live for him. You're free to seek his kingdom, his righteousness, because God will make sure you have what you need. And maybe there's something big that you need to trust God for. One of the words that Jesus would say to you is that you just need to trust him today. One of the other ways that anxiety can rise, you know, back to the students and thinking about your grades, like impacting your entire life. When everything's riding on that, I mean, this, you know, Monday, when you have the next test, is the biggest thing ever, right? When it's all of, it's going to affect everything, the whole rest of your life. But you just need to trust him today, right? What does he say? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So you just need to trust God today for what's going on. And then tomorrow, you know what you do? You trust him for today again. And then on Tuesday, you trust him for today. And then on Wednesday, you trust him for today. You don't have to carry all that today. It's only Sunday. Just trust him for Sunday. And it might even be shorter than that. Might be you trust him for right now, and then in 2 hours, you trust him for then. And with every one of those days, Jesus tells us, you know, the trouble will be there when we get there. And the good news of the gospel is that he will be there when we get there. And so we can trust him, whatever is on the other side. He'll be there when you get there, and he is with you now. Yes, we have a lot we could worry about, and we have a loving Father who cares for us. And that's why we can treasure his kingdom. That's why we can lay up treasures in heaven. Those mean the same thing. And he motivates us to it by saying, don't lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, because everything here, it eventually fades. It eventually fades. Have you ever tried to save something and you saved it too long? And then you go, ah, we missed it. And sometimes you even miss out on the joy of having the thing because you were so busy trying to preserve it for later. And it was never meant to be preserved that way. My mother-in-law kept our wedding cake topper in her deep freezer for 20 years. One of my daughters actually ate some of it. She's okay. Right, but it's kind of a tradition for some people, you know, to save it for a year and eat a piece at the year. It's usually the couple that gets married that saves it. My mother-in-law is great. Right, but she saved it too long. And it lost its goodness, it lost its worth, it lost its value. Everything fades. Whether it's cake that fades pretty fast, whether it's clothing, you ever read a favorite article of clothing? And then you're like, oh, it's time. It's so sad, but it's time. The things we love that are just of earth, even if they're great, they don't last. They don't last. And so Jesus is saying, set your heart on what will last, because you can't have a shared allegiance. So one of the questions for us from this text is, are we so wrapped up with the things we can see that we're missing out on what we can't see? That we're more focused on what we can see right in front of us? The physical things, the momentary things, that we're missing what's eternal. We're missing what will last. And he says, lay up your treasure in heaven, because moth and rust don't corrupt there. Thieves can't break through and steal. Everything you put there can't be lost. It can't be taken away. One of the ways we can move our focus from what we eat and what we drink and what we wear is to remember that we have a loving Father who cares for us, and to seek his kingdom. And he tells us to consider. Jesus tells us to pay attention to some things. Look at verse 26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Similarly, in verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither do they toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And here's this conclusion. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. He's saying God cares about his creation. He cares about the things he has made, but they're just things. You are made in his image. If you have heard the good news about Jesus and responded with repentance and faith, you are his child. God is your father who cares for you. And he's arguing from the lesser to the greater here, right? If he cares about flowers, if he cares about birds, God sees you and cares for you. He says, how much more? And then in knowing the rest of our Bible, we know that he does love us. And he has shown that love by sending his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life that you and I were supposed to live, but none of us have. And to die a bloody, sacrificial, atoning death on the cross. And then on the third day to rise again so that everyone who turns from their sins and trusts in him can have life with him now and forever. That is the good news of the gospel. God has loved us like that. And in Romans 8, Paul says, if he's loved us like that, if he didn't spare his own son, but gave him freely, gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him give us all things? That one now is an argument from the greater to the lesser, right? We start from the lesser to the greater. If he cares about birds, if he cares about flowers, he cares about you. But how have we seen his care in sending his own son? And if he sent his own son, the very best, won't he take care of all the other things? This doesn't mean that everything will go your way when you become a Christian. And have you been a Christian long enough to know that? Not everything will go your way. It's not that now, oh man, everything's just great. Everything goes exactly the way I want to. Everything I touch turns to gold. No. But as we seek God's kingdom first, we'll find that we have whatever we truly need. Because our Father in heaven knows what we need. We, followers of Jesus, children of the Heavenly Father, chase the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will give us everything that we need. And so our question becomes, how do I do this day, this moment, with the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me? How do I trust a kind and caring Father today? I'm trusting him with the big day of eternity, and because he's got that eternal day all set, everything is going to be okay on this day. We must live each day trusting the Lord. And how do we show that trust? By treasuring the things that will last. We live each day trusting the Lord by treasuring the things that will last. And so for you, I don't know what all is going on in your life, in your family. What does it look like in this day, on this moment, to seek God's kingdom and righteousness rather than the treasure that will fade? What does it mean to entrust yourself to a Father who cares for you so that, yes, you still work, but then you can rest because it's not all up to you? If it was, that'd be a problem, actually. But it's not all up to you. It's up to God. God will give us what we need when we need it. Today has enough trouble. Let's not carry tomorrow's too. The one we can trust for the big tomorrow is with us and cares for us today, and he'll be there for us tomorrow. And that's how we become free to live for his kingdom, for treasure in heaven, not possessions here and now. He's provided for our greatest need in Jesus, so he'll take care of all our lesser needs. Christ Church, it is going to be okay. It's actually going to be more than okay, because you have a Savior who gave his own life for you, who's at work even now, and will carry you to the day of eternity. Let's pray. God, we thank you, and we ask you to help us to give our anxieties, our fears, our worries to you, our kind Father, who cares for us today, tomorrow, and to the day of eternity. May you help us to see you as you truly are, to treasure you and your kingdom, and to trust you each moment of each day. And would you be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.